Hey, true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the power cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that've got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the things you love, whether it be action figures, comic books, toys, or more. This is the show for you. It's only a half an hour, and what else do you got to do? You might be driving in the car, you might be taking a poop, you might be sitting there thinking about life, and why not have us along for the ride? And unfortunately, when I say us, this week I mean solo. That's right, you heard it here first. I, your host, Mitchell A.S. Halleck, always something Halleck, how about that, A.S.? Maybe Anthony Stark, a little Iron Man joke there. I am happy to go solo on this one because you know him, you love him, you can live without him this week because Mr. John Cimino will not be here. Perhaps he's busy writing an article for the Jack Kirby Collector or Back Issue Magazine or maybe Alter Ego. Well, whatever it is, he might be scouring the plains looking for some lost collectible or a comic book in someone's attic as we speak. But, neither the case, he's not here. So, I thought long and hard about what I should do this week. Now, I did record a podcast as I headed up this weekend with my old buddy Mike Barry, his friend Mike Scalise, and you know him from the pages of Shazam and Superman, the super artist himself, Mr. Jerry Ordway, and perhaps we will get into that later on in the show. But for the here and now, let's talk about something cool, all right? Let's talk about celebrity. I am in the midst of planning next year's Terrific Con, the Terrific Comic Con that happens every August at the Mohegan Sun, located in Uncasville, Connecticut. It's a fantastic show. It's a great value. Bring the family, bring the kids. It's free parking. It's not going to bang your wallet for thousands of dollars for admission and celebrity guests and all that stuff. No, it's a good old-fashioned Comic Con. You come on in, you shop around, you buy some t-shirts, some toys, some back issues you might be looking for. But most importantly, it's an interactive con that you get right up there in the face of the comic book creators you know and love. Whether it was Mr. Mike Zeck who drew the Captain America or the Secret Wars book you read back in the 80s. Whether it was Mr. Roy Thomas who was the editor and then the writer of some of the classic Marvels from the 60s and 70s. Maybe it was Scott Collins. You just found his work in the latest issue of The Flash. Or maybe Mr. Scott Koblish. You're a big Deadpool fan. And plus, because we were at the Mohegan Sun, we always managed to do that crossover. We get the entertainment guests, the actors, the people that are involved in Hollywood who also are big comic book fans. Maybe you went to my Kevin Smith show last year and got to see Kevin talk for about 4 hours about the things he loves and the stuff that you love too, which is comic books, toys, and movies and more. Maybe you came to the show the year before and you saw Mr. Greg Grunberg. That's right, Mr. Greg Grunberg from Heroes and Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and you just got to talk to him and maybe you saw him before live at the Wolfsden Arena. That's right, there's free concerts at the Mohegan Sun, so it's always a great show. You never know who you're going to bump into. Maybe it was Ki-Hoo Kwan who played Short Round or Data from The Goonies. You're like, oh my God, I've never seen that guy at his show. And you know what? You're right, because he never does do it. I try to find the guest that I want to see. Yes, I know it's selfish, but it's a show that I'm putting on and I'm paying for, so in a weird way, I kind of get the people that I, Mitch the fanboy, have always wanted to meet. So that's why you will see comic book legends that you're like, oh my God, I never saw him in any other show, like Mr. Rick Hoberg last year. Rick Hoberg, if you hadn't known, was drawing Star Wars for the last 30 years. If you had picked up a toy, a t-shirt, a mug with some artwork on it, it was probably drawn by Rick. And not only that, he worked on the cartoons you know and love and you grew up with. We're talking about the X-Men. We're talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We're talking about Spider-Man and his amazing friends. That's the type of guest I bring in. Somebody you sit there and go, holy Jesus, this guy's influenced my life more than you can possibly imagine. And boom, he was there. That's right. Rick was there, along with thousands of other great fans that just like you that wanted to partake in 3 days of Comic-Con fun. So anyway, I'm in the midst of doing that, and I started thinking about some of the guests and some of the actors and some of the people I've met over the years through my love of comic books and podcasting. That's right, podcasting. For the last 9 years, I've been part of a show called the IndieCast. Now, that was created back when Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, whether you love it or hate it, was in development right here in Connecticut, in New Haven, my hometown. And I said, oh my God, Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford is on the streets that I grew up on and still live nearby? It was like a dream come true. So how surreal was it for me to go down to the street corner that I used to wait on the bus with my grandma Amelia, who used to take me across the street to Kresge's, which has now become Kmart in years later. But we used to go there, and she would buy me my very first Star Wars action figure in 1977. And, well, actually 78, because they came out after the film, and you know the whole story about the early box. If you're a true fan, you know what I'm talking about, the early bird kit. So anyway, I'm just saying, there I was on the street corner watching Indiana Jones, Han Solo, Rick Decker, John Book, Jack Ryan, you name them, you love them, you know them. It's Mr. Harrison Ford, the world's biggest movie star, right there on a motorcycle with Shia LaBeouf, who we won't talk about on this show. And it was one of those moments where you just had to pinch yourself and said, when I was walking on these fields, these grass, this sidewalk, reading an Indiana Jones comic book, a Star Wars comic book, did I ever think for one moment that sometime in my life that the guy who's being drawn and written about in the pages of this paper in front of me would actually be here? Would be here with Steven Spielberg, the man who made Jaws, the man who brought movies to life? They would be on a dolly driving down the road with a camera and a boom mic and lighting and effects and all that stuff. No, did I think I would see Mr. George Lucas, the man who came up with Star Wars, the man who came up with Indiana Jones, the man who altered my life and my career path? Did I ever see, I would think I would see him standing there with a flannel shirt eating barbecued ribs at a catering tent and spilling barbecue sauce down his shirt? The man is worth $5 billion. Billion dollars. Did I ever think that would happen? No, I never did. So long story short, as I ramble on here, you might want to know what the hell this is all about. I'm just saying, because I liked Indiana Jones, because I liked going down to New Haven to watch the film being made, I started to post about it on Facebook. Actually, it wasn't even Facebook back then. It was MySpace. That's how old this was. MySpace. I don't even think that exists anymore. But anyway, I got noticed by some fans across the world, a fellow that was in Belgium. And he said, hey, I do a website called theraider.net. Would you like to write about some of the things you're seeing? So sure, I went down there with my camera and I walked around the streets that I grew up on. I mean, I was only born at the hospital, 4 blocks from where they were filming the latest Indiana Jones movie. So I knew everywhere, every pizza joint, every bookstore, you name it, you know it, I'd been there. So how do I feel when I turn the corner and standing against a tree on High Street is Steven Spielberg walking around waving his hands, describing Harrison Ford, who's up against a tree drinking a Starbucks coffee, telling him how the next scene is supposed to be? And I'm standing there wearing a Jaws t-shirt, and I'm in there in khaki pants, and I realize everybody around me is kind of dressed the same way. They were all part of the crew. So no one noticed me. And then I noticed on the other side of the street, all these people were dressed in poodle skirts and 50s clothes and Letterman sweaters like they were college students from 1950. And I said, oh my God, I am on the set of the next big blockbuster. I am on the set of the Indiana Jones movie. And before I know it, I reached in my pocket, I took out my camera, and I said, well, I've got to prove to the people that I was there. So I took a picture of Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg, who were a mere 15 feet away from me, discussing the next scene, and I snapped, click, 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 and I said, I got a picture. And next thing you know, I had a tap on my shoulder, and it was somebody from Paramount Pictures Security. And they said, excuse me, sir, you do realize you're on a closed set. I said, no, I'm not on. I had no idea. I thought I was on High Street in New Haven where I grew up. And they said, no, you can't be here and you actually can't take pictures because this is private property. I go, hey now, what are you talking about? This is public property. This is New Haven. I grew up here. I'm a citizen. So they actually said, can we see your photos and can we delete them? So I didn't know any better. So I hit delete, delete, delete. And then I walked down the street, talked to a reporter friend of mine who said, have you ever heard of anything called the Bill of Rights? Like, what are you talking about? He goes, you have the right to take pictures. You have the right to do things. You're in a public street. This is a freedom of speech, man. The First Amendment, whatever all those things are, I don't know. So anyway, we undeleted the pictures. And before you know it, it wasn't just me. It was a bunch of other fans that were being accosted and saying, hey, you got to delete those pictures. You can't take this stuff. But the next day, the word got out that people were being told to delete pictures and not to do stuff. And Mr. Frank Marshall, the producer of such films as the Indiana Jones series, the Back to the Future films, the Bourne Identity films, all that stuff, he came on the news and said, you know what? We're wrong, New Haven. We're sorry. You want to come down here? You want to take pictures? Be my guest. Do it. Videos and all that stuff. So I had a couple friends of mine said, wow, you sat there and suffered the wrath of the security guys, but you made your story known and you fought for rights and the fans triumphed and we all got to post our pictures of the set filming. So there you go. You're a hero. And then the next thing happened is I started posting about that type of stuff and a guy named Ed Dollister, who's down in Australia on the other side of the world, as far away from Connecticut as possible, he said, I'm doing a podcast and I'm writing articles on the Raider.net, and Ed would then read those articles on the podcast. And he said, hey, you want to work together? So I would write a lot of the articles, a lot of the news features. I would send them into Ed and Ed would read them. And eventually it just made sense for me to actually come on and start to, you know, record and read out loud the stuff that I was sending to Ed to read the scripts. So before you know it, I'm part of the podcast. I'm talking about the things I'd seen. And then I ran out of stuff about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And a lot of people didn't like that movie. So there had to be new stuff to talk about. So what do I start talking about? Oh, I don't know, comic books about Indiana Jones, toys about Indiana Jones, artwork about Indiana Jones. And that led me down this whole path where you suddenly find out there's a whole network of fans and friends out there that you never knew because of the internet, because of podcasting, because of fandom. And we all started talking. It was almost like an electronic pen pal. Like when you were a kid, like I grew up, you'd see in a magazine, it said, hey, get a pen pal. So you'd write your name and you'd write a letter and you'd find some kid in like Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and you'd write back about the things you liked. And it went back and forth that way. But now there's something called the internet, and you could do it instantaneously. You could send an instant message. You could sit there and talk as much as you want about movies and comic books and stuff. Then you could start to film it, and you could make a little TV show on YouTube and stuff. So it was amazing, this technology, and how it has increased the world and the reach of fandom like no ever before. When I was growing up, we had Starlog magazine. That was it. It came out once a month, and it gave you little snippets of like the next Star Wars movie or the next Back to the Future film or the Star Trek shows or whatever it was. And that's all we had. That was our source of information. Now, you can't even click on your phone without finding out information of the latest Marvel trailer, the latest DC movie, the latest Flash episode. It's almost ruined it, but it's also evolved to the point where that's how they make these shows. They sit there and they look at the response from fans. They look at what the fans want to hear, and now they're making the movies that we wanted to see. They finally had the light go on in their head in Hollywood, and they said, hey, why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? Why are we making movies that don't have the costumes that the kids expect or the characters to be like they read about in the books? Why are we trying to come up with new stories when we have a wellspring, we have a foundation built on 75 to 80 years of comic book stories written by these masters, written by these great artists and these great writers? Why are we trying to change what the people expect? Let's give them what they want. And thank God they realized it. So when we go to the movies, we go see Doctor Strange, we can sit in the film and watch Steve Ditko's artwork come to life in 3D. And I do mean 3D, because you can put on a 3D IMAX glasses and you could suddenly be in the dark dimension with Dormammu. Wait, I can get this. It's one of those things you can read, but when you go to say it, it sounds really weird. I'm going to say it. Dormammu. How about that? Dormammu? Damamoro, I've come to bargain. Whatever. The point of it is, we now live in the age of the fanboy. This is it. And fangirls, I'm not trying to be sexist. It's the year of the fan. It's the decade of the fan. It's the age of the fan. This is what it's all about. And this is what podcasting is about. And this is what Comic-Cons are all about. The true nature of it. It's a coming together. It's a community. It's Woodstock for geeks. Where that might have been a bad term 20 years ago, geeks is now embraced. It's a nirvana for nerds. That's right, nerds. You know, that term that they would use on Happy Days, if you're that old, remember, that was a put-down to Potsy, and then they turned it into Dren. But still, I digress. That is what I'm talking about. This is the greatest time of our lives. This is the golden age of television. This is the golden age of movies. Comics, toys, they can make an action figure based on the most obscure character you ever thought of, and it will sell. These pop Funko vinyl things, I don't get them, I don't know it, I don't like them, but they sell crazy. I've seen Golden Girls pop vinyls, I've seen Buckaroo Banzai pop vinyls, I've seen pop vinyls and plastic devoted to characters I never heard of out there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is the time to be passionate, folks. So if you're into anything, like I mentioned when I started this rant, I started talking about Indiana Jones, and it got me into podcasting, and it got me to make people and meet people and producers and movies and actors that I never thought I would. How about the time I walked into New York Comic Con? I had a press pass, and here's a story for you. I sit down. I'm going to a press panel for a brand new show called The Walking Dead. The only reason why I'm there is because the director of this show is a guy named Frank Darabont. Now, you might know Frank Darabont from his work on the Shawshank Redemption, a little movie that's not on 1,000 times a day. Or you might know him from the movie The Mist. Or you might know him from a zillion other movies. I knew him because Frank Darabont actually wrote some young Indiana Jones stories back in the day when that was a TV show. And he also wrote a treatment for the fourth Indiana Jones film, but they never made it. So I wanted to talk to him about that. And he's like, wait, don't you want to know about my new movie called The Walking Dead? Here's the man, Robert Kirkman, that wrote the comic book. I don't know Robert Kirkman from Adam. I'm talking to him. We're starting to talk about hot dogs. And next thing you know, I said, oh, wait, you did Marvel Zombies. That was a really cool thing. I hope this Walking Dead thing works out for you. I don't really like, aliens or zombies. It freaks me out, man. But good luck to you. So now he gets up, and who sits down but an actor named Andrew Lincoln and another guy named John Bernthal. Now, Bernthal and Lincoln are sitting across from me. We're at a little round table that has about six other chairs. All the reporters, or whatever you want to call them, correspondents, got up and left because they didn't know who these two guys were. Now, I'm packing up my stuff because I have to go down the road to go meet this fellow that does these books about the making of Star Wars, the making of Indiana Jones. And I said, wait a second, let me be somewhat pleasant, complimentary. And I sat there for a minute and I saw Mr. Andrew Lincoln and Mr. John Bernthal as I'm packing up my notepad and my tape recorder. And they said, hey, where are you going? I said, oh, I got to go down there. I'm supposed to meet this guy named John Rinsler. He writes about the making of Star Wars. And I remember Andrew Lincoln's face. He's like, oh, that's great. You want to speak to us? And I said, wait, this is a British guy. Who are you playing on this TV show? He's like, oh, I'm playing Rick, and I'm a police officer in Atlanta. And I said, Atlanta, Georgia? Or Atlanta, England? He's like, no. It's here in the States. And I go, oh, wow, that's kind of interesting. Thinking, why is there a British guy playing an Atlanta sheriff? And then John Bernthal, he's like, yeah, brother, you should check it out. And I look at him, I go, who are you playing? He goes, well, I'm Shane. I play his buddy on the show, man. And I said, well, I'd love to talk to you guys. And what's it about again? They said, it's about, you know, zombies coming to life. I go, oof, I don't like that stuff. It's too spooky for me. But good luck with it. And I remember Bernthal going, hey, thanks, brother. I hope it works out. And then Andrew Lincoln's like, yeah, I've got a house to pay. I've got a mortgage. And I walk out of that room. And to this day, I still kick myself because I'm like, they're the stars of one of the biggest shows in TV history. And everyone's walking out of the room. And I just blew them off. And a year later, I was filming an episode of the TV show Con Men. And if you can go on YouTube, you can go Con Men TV, and you'll see me on there as a reporter. And there is Andrew Lincoln back a year later, but now The Walking Dead has become a phenomenon and a high-rated show. And he just looks at me, and he's like, ain't you the chap that walked out on us last year? I was like, yeah. So people do remember sometimes. So the point of that story is you never know where life will take you. So if you sit down at a press screening, if you ever to be there and you don't know what the movie is and you might not like it, you should just do the due diligence and sit through it and be nice to the cast, because you never know, that guy who's playing the sheriff or the deputy on The Walking Dead might become the next Frank Castle. He might be the next Punisher. He might be one of the best versions of the Punisher you ever saw on Daredevil, and now to have his own show on Netflix. So that's why. You also never know who you're going to bump into. And thanks to podcasting, my phone was dead. I walked up to the security guy in front of the press room and said, listen, bud, I got to go charge my iPhone because I got to call my wife to tell her I'm late. I'm supposed to go interview Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird on Sesame Street, and I want to tell her I'm going to be late. So he said, sure, man, go in there and charge your phone. I opened the door, and inside that room, who's sitting there having coffee about to do a press screening, but Mr. Chris Evans, a.k.a. Captain America, Mr. Tom Hiddleston, a.k.a. Loki, Prince of Lies and God of Mischief, Mr. Mark Ruffalo, the new Bruce Banner / Hulk, Mr. Clark Gregg, Agent Coulson to you folks out there, Kevin Feige, the producer of all the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and who else was up there? I think that was it. And yours truly. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a funny story, too. I'm there. I'm charging my phone. They're talking. They see me. They just look at me. Nobody's around. Just us in the room. I'm acting cool. I just start looking through my notebooks and, you know, pretending I'm ignoring the fact that I'm sitting in the room with the Avengers. So what happens is I go outside and I said, hey, what's going on? Why are the Avengers here? And he goes, oh, they're doing a press interview thing. And he looks down at my credentials. He goes, but you're cool. You're press, so don't worry about it. So I stand there and I start talking to a cameraman from Australia. And I said, oh, I'm on a podcast from Australia. And we just start chatting. And then I'm talking to Blair Herder, who at the time was on G4, which was a really great network. He used to be on Attack of the Show. American Ninja Warrior used to be on that network. Olivia Munn was on there. Sarah Underwood, Jessica Chabot, the whole works, man. It was unbelievable. And I'm talking to him, and he starts asking me how it is to have kids and, you know, what am I doing there? And I explain, you know, who I am and such. And he's like, yeah, I'm thinking about getting married. I don't know. You know, my girlfriend wants to have kids and we've been dating for a while. So I think I should. And I'm just, you know, Mitch throwing out his opinion. I go, listen, brother, life's too short. You've been with the girl for a while. You know, you're serious about this. Time to get married. Roll up the sleeves. Get going on that family. Do what you got to do. He's like, hey, man, thanks a lot. You're a real cool guy. You want to come out to dinner with us? I go, nah, I got to go home. And then the next day he sees me and he's autographing things and he stops the line. Hey, there's my buddy Mitch. And I say, oh, this is my son Owen. He goes, hey, Owen, your dad is so cool. You don't know that. La, 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 la. And I go, well, good luck to you, Blair. I hope everything works out for you. A year later, I see Blair back at New York Comic Con. I say, hey, how'd everything go out, man? I heard you got married. He said, I did. And there's his wife, lovely model, actress, reporter. You'll see her on TV a lot. You'll see her on the internet. She's on The Nerdist a lot, too. She's there. And I said, well, congratulations. And she's already pregnant. And then they have a kid. And she said, oh, you're my husband's life coach. So it's kind of funny how you don't know people, but you do sometimes. And that little conversation you have with somebody might help them decide on what they want to do. So whatever happened, it was a nice thing. So going back to the Avengers, I'm standing in line. I'm talking to people. And before I left that day, my oldest son, Spencer, said, Dad, if you go to the New York Comic Con and you happen to see Chris Evans, can you get me an autograph from Captain America? I'm like, how's that going to happen? I'm not going to see him. So next thing you know, I'm standing there talking to this other guy I told you from Australia, the cameraman. And who comes walking up to me but freaking Chris Evans? Captain Goddamn America. And I said, holy shit. And they said, Mitch, you have 2 minutes with Chris Evans and you have questions for him. And you can hear this. Maybe I'll put a link up there, but you can hear my interview. I am totally out of left field making up a question on the spot, trying to keep my cool. And I said, hey, Chris, you know, nice to meet you. And, you know, you play a lot of heroes and now you're playing Human Torch and then you're playing Captain America. Is there anybody in your life that was a hero that you'd want to play? He goes, oh, yeah, there's lots of people. I go, well, you know, one in particular. He goes, I don't know, man. There's lots of people out there. I go, come on, Chris, let's go. You're from Massachusetts. I'm from Connecticut. How about a local hero? Who would you like to play? You know, come something like that. I don't know, man. How about JFK? Yeah, that's it. JFK, John F. Kennedy. Of course I'd love to play John F. Kennedy. So next thing you know, I'm talking to him. They go, what's your next question for Chris Evans? I go, hey, Cap, can you do me a favor and sign this for my son? Absolutely. So he signs it, Chris Evans. I shake his hands. I go, hey, good luck. And you can hear me say, thanks, Cap, as he walks away. Because I'm so delusional fanboy for a brief instant. I thought this was Steve Rogers. I thought this was Captain America. That's how good an actor this guy is. So I'm all happy. I got my autograph. Who's the greatest dad in the world? I'm about to walk away. And then they go, okay, here's Mr. Tom Hiddleston. Holy crap, there's Loki standing in front of me. Now, he's about 6'3", I'm 5'10", and he's a close talker, so he comes right into me. I don't know if he was going to, you know, kiss me or talk to me. I don't know what was going on. So I'm making up these questions. I go, hey, I do a podcast about Indiana Jones, and, you know, you're Loki, and he's a lot to do with mythology. Is there anything in the past, maybe the Spear of Destiny or the Ark of the Covenant, that you would like to get? And he says, you know what? I would love to go back in time to see Shakespeare and to find out if he really did write all those plays or if he had a ghostwriter. I said, wow, that's really cool. And he goes, wait a minute, did you say Indiana Jones? I said, yeah, why? He goes, do you know Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite movie of all time? I go, get out of here. He goes, no, ask me how many times I've seen it. I go, okay, Hiddleston, how many times have you seen it? 30? He goes, no. I go, 40? He goes, no. I said, how many? He goes, about 300 times. I go, get the freak out of here. He goes, no, go on. So next thing you know, we're doing dialogue from Indiana Jones, okay? How cool is that? I'm standing there in line talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark with Tom Hiddleston, and the guy knows note for note, and he says, oh, I'm an indie fan. He's as big a nerd as I am, man, and he's proven it because he's got the cred. He's over there doing the dialogue from Harrison Ford's movie from 1981. So just if that wasn't enough, who comes walking up? I drop my camera on the floor. I go to pick it up. Now, I had a dislocated thumb, so my thumb was bandaged up. But Mark Ruffalo picks up the camera. Hey, bud, what happened? I fell off my bike and I dislocated my thumb. Oh, a motorcycle? No, my bicycle. I was riding it and I hit some mud and I went over the handlebars. Oh, Jesus, does it hurt? I go, yeah, it popped out of its socket. I had to put it back in. He goes, holy geez, that's really painful. I go, yeah, thanks, man. And then he goes, okay, I got to go because that was my 2 minutes. I wasted my 2 minutes with Mark Ruffalo talking about my dislocated thumb. So I'm like, this is it. I can't take it anymore. Next thing, Clark Gregg's in my face. And I go, hey, man, you like comic books? He's like, yeah. And I did that secret code that us comic book nerds have with each other to feel each other out. I go, yeah? Who's one of your favorite writers? He goes, Jim Starlin. I go, you like Starlin, huh? A little cosmic stuff, a little heady, trippy stuff. He goes, yeah, I like that. I go, yeah? Give me some idea. Who's your favorite character? He goes, Pip the Troll. Whoa, talk about deep cuts. I go, Pip the freaking Troll? He goes, yeah. I go, we're talking Adam Warlock. He goes, yeah, man. So I go, no, this guy knows what he's talking about. And I go, hey, why don't you tell me some more? Who else do you like? He goes, I like Luke Cage. I like Power Man. I like Iron Fist. I like all that martial arts stuff. I said, do you have your comics? He goes, you know what? While we were filming Avengers in Albuquerque, I went to the Albuquerque Comic Con. I went in disguise. I put a baseball cap on. I went around some of the bins. I bought up all the comic books I had when I was a kid, and I brought them all home. I said, did you bag and board them, man? Are they in plastic? He goes, no, man, I bought them to read. I didn't buy them to collect. They're sitting on my side of my bed in a big stack, and I read them. And, you know, that's one of those things. I'm sitting there going, you should come to my house, dude. That's how my bedroom looks, a giant stack of comic books, and that's what I'm reading. You can know whose side of the bed who sleeps on. My wife's side is all clean and neat. You look on my side, literally, there's a long box on the side of the bed with a pile of comics on top, and that's my nighttime reading, okay? I'm like five, all right? So anyway, Clark Gregg's there. Now, to end this story and end this podcast, because I like to do this in a half an hour, this young woman comes walking up to me, very beautiful, very statuesque. I'm about 5'10". She must have been about 5'10", 11. She's like, hi, how are you? I said, I'm all right. How are you? She's good. She said, you want to ask me anything? Now, you know my inner Mitch is thinking I could, but I got to go home and I want to be married, so I'm not going to say anything. I go, yeah, why would I? She goes, what do you mean, why would you? I said, well, who are you? She goes, well, I'm Colby Smulders or whatever. I go, what does that mean? She goes, I'm in the Avengers movie. I go, well, who are you playing? She goes, I'm Maria Hill. I said, oh, really? You got Maria Hill in this movie? I have no idea who this woman is. I've never watched How I Met Your Mother or anything like that. And then she goes, don't you want to ask me anything? I go, yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't know who you are. And she got this look on her face like, you know, like I told her the world was going to end. She goes, you don't know who I am? I go, no, I'm very sorry. And then the publicist goes, well, you have two questions for her. And there's a guy standing next to me from, like I said, Australia. I said, you know what? I'm going to be a nice guy, Miss Smulders. I don't know who you are, but I'm going to give my two questions to this fellow right here. So he has four questions. How about that? And she just looked at me like, what a jerk you are. I said, hey, I hope everything works out for you, you know, who knows. So I go home and I go tell my family who I met. And they're like, you met Colby Smulders? I go, who's that? How I Met Your Mother, blah, 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 blah. So again, you gotta watch who you're talking to. Always be nice. Always be pleasant. You never know who they might be or who they might think they are. So anyway, that's it. I'm sure Colby Smulders will not be coming to Terrificon because I kind of messed things up that day. And I hope Bernthal's forgiven me for forgetting who he was back in the time. But hey, I digress. It has been 30 minutes that I've managed to keep this thing going and talking nonstop. Yes, call 911, call the psychiatrist. I am ranting over here. I have talked a whole Power Cosmic about what it is to be part of the fan community, what it is to be about a Comic-Con promoter, what it is to be about a podcaster. And this is my advice to you. You don't have to wait for me every Tuesday or John to talk about stuff or watch the next Marvel movie or go Wednesday to get your comic books. You could do this yourself. Go on Facebook, make a page for yourself, make a little group, talk about the things you're interested in. Go out there and make a podcast, buy a cheap microphone. Most of these computers have mics built into them. Hell, you could do it on your iPhone or whatever you're using. You record it and you upload it. We use something here called Podomatic. It's free. You don't even have to pay for it. And they'll walk you through how to do it. You make a file, you put it up there, you make a little graphic, you send it out there like a message in the bottle. There might be a prisoner on death row. There might be somebody that's stuck in Alaska. There might be a shut-in who hasn't come out since 1986 after Buckaroo Banzai came out. They might pick up on your voice. They might listen to you, and you might cheer up their day. And next thing you know, they want to listen to you, what you got to say. And that's the amazing thing about the fan community we live in now. Take it, embrace it, be part of it, and produce and make more of it. And that is my advice to you. I'm getting off my pulpit. Thank you very much for listening to the Power Cosmic podcast. If you made it this far, come up to me at Terrificon this year in 2017 on August 18th to the 20th, and I am going to give you free stuff because God knows you deserve it for listening to this. Anyway, this has been Mitch Halleck, and if I always say when John's standing right next to me, and that's that. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the Terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.